D1, number 17A.
Being is consciousness, and consciousness is being, which means the form of consciousness we have, the form of being we have. So all depends on the form of consciousness which we have in order to have real being. If consciousness is in line with the divine, then we experience divine being. Now, on that basis, that consciousness is being, I would like, in the first hour, to pinpoint from various categories the place where we stand today. First, I would like to see where we stand today when we view being and consciousness within the framework of the evolution of life. We know that our Earth is very old and that the birth of life is just recent. It is only 3 million years ago that we had the first single form of life. 3 million years, in American terms, 3 billion years. They have a different numbering than here in Europe. And if we put those 3 million years, say, in the scale of 1 year, so as to get a better perspective of evolution, then we see that if those 3 billion years, that is, since the moment of the appearance of life, is being put on the scale of 1 year, then the first man appeared on the 31st of December, on New Year's Eve, in the evening at 9:30. So just 2.5 hours before the New Year begins again. Can you see where man comes in the whole development? What man? Just that man which has some specific characteristics which distinguishes him from his animal ancestors. It is only about 15 to 5 minutes before midnight on New Year's Eve that the thinking man appears, the Homo sapiens, as they call it. And it is only 1 minute before midnight that recorded history began. Just 1 minute. And it is only 20 seconds before midnight that we have that period of the Greek classics with the birth of science, and at the same time that great religious rebirth in Israel with the prophets, in Persia with Zarathustra, in India with Buddha, where the great world religions were born. And it is only 16 seconds before midnight that Jesus came as the prototype of that scientist. And it is only really 2 seconds ago that the great technical revolution started. And it is only 1 second ago that Christian Science has been discovered, which gives a completely new form of consciousness. This gives us a perspective that we don't think constantly that things have always been the way we are thinking and that man has always been thinking the way he has been thinking. It makes us realize that what we are considering and the consciousness which we are contemplating is something of just now, of very recent date, considered with the long evolution that has taken place in order to arrive where we are. Now let's look at the position where we are from another category. Let's look at it from the category of the evolution of consciousness, of human consciousness. We know that when man appeared on Earth, well, that's 2.5 hours ago on the last day, that since then, physiologically, he has no more developed. That is the remarkable thing about the evolution when it comes to the point of man, that then the purely physiological evolution stops with man, not with the animals and plants and so on, but with man. And that at that point something else begins to evolve, namely consciousness. That's why the evolutionists see that a completely new trend has begun with the appearance of man and of brain and human consciousness. And within the appearance of human consciousness from various sides of sciences, they have found out that human consciousness has evolved in 4 or 5 different stages. First, and this is important to note, because we think that as we think, man has always thought as we think. We have never thought that men have been thinking completely different than how we look at things and how we think. And it is really quite a new department of science which has investigated how people have been thinking. And they have seen that in the first big era of human consciousness, they have been thinking what they call in an archaic way. That is, they were thinking in a way which had no consciousness of an I or a self. They had no sense of time nor a sense of space. At that initial stage, they didn't think in opposites, as we do. They just didn't have that consciousness. And the pattern was really that all is all. They had a sense of an infinite all, or just an all, but a completely undifferentiated sense of a whole or a whole. Then came a second period which they call the magic stage, or the magic structure of consciousness, when people began to realize that man is a part of nature, woven into nature. He is not separate from nature, but one with nature. And man lived in a sense of a clan or of a tribe. They had still not yet a self-consciousness. But they had a collective consciousness. The tribe or a clan was one consciousness. And whatever happened within that collective consciousness was part of them. That's from where we still have those collective beliefs with which we have to deal today. And men had a collective soul. Not each one had a soul. They were intimately one with all the living creatures, with everything living on earth, and everything was alive for them. And it was the magic age because the only way to deal with nature was through magic, which comes from might or power, through a sense of having power, and therefore we have the birth of necromancy, of magic, and so on. A consciousness which still lingers to a great extent within our consciousness. Then came a third stage, perhaps starting round about 10,000 BC and lasting in the Western civilization until round about 500 BC. It was the mythical age. In that mythical age, they discovered that man has a soul. Now everything begins to turn inward. And before they were one with the whole, woven into the one whole, now they began to discover that they have a soul or an inner life. And with that discovery of a soul or inner life, which was not objective but subjective, a consciousness of imagination, of thinking in terms of images and so on, began to take hold on men. Now they begin to think in polarities, not yet in dualities. They began to think in polarity, and therefore in the polarity where we had no opposites, still no opposites. It's a wonderful paradigmic sense of consciousness which they had. It was an irrational age. It was the age where rationality, thinking, logic, measuring, and so on has not yet been discovered. Everything was considered in a very irrational way, and therefore we have in that mythical age the birth of all the myths and mythologies. Figuring out deities, figuring out the forces of the world and so on with imaginations. It was a half-awake consciousness. Something between the dream consciousness and a consciousness of being awake. And through that discovery of the soul or an inward life, you can see that they naturally began to feel that with that soul concept, they can be in touch with those deities which they have imagined. And so we not only have the mythologies, but also those mystical unification with that world soul. And from there we have mysticism, mythology, mystical union, and mystical rites, and so on. And this was until round about 500 B.C. 500 B.C. when in Greece we had the birth of science, and in Israel, Persia, India, the birth of the new world religions. But let's think, this is in our timetable only 16 seconds ago, or 20 seconds ago. Do we realize one thing? That the way we are thinking today is not very old. that the new structure of thinking, which came with 500 BC and which these people call the mental age, realized that they have a mind of their own. For the first time, they began to realize that they have an I consciousness, that they realize that they are an individual, and no more just part of a big collective, that they have a mind of their own and can think things out of their own. It is the period where investigation, logic, rational thinking, discovery starts in. It's where thinking in cause and effect began. Before that time, nobody on earth was thinking in terms of cause and effect. Is that not quite remarkable? That only just a few seconds ago, that consciousness began to spring into being, which began to think in terms of cause and effect, of beginning to measure everything, to measure time, to measure space, to measure anything. That's where the measuring, which has the same root as matter, measure comes from matter, matter, mother, all that mind. You can only measure things if you can measure it with your mind. And so all that new consciousness began to spring up. It is a time, a consciousness structure which takes in a time sense, a space sense, and therefore takes on itself the tremendous task to overcome afterwards space, and afterwards to overcome time. That's the question which is uppermost today. But the moment they begin to think and measure, they have duality. The moment you measure something, you have a beginning and an end, and therefore you have duality, opposites, face to face to something. You have distance, and you separate yourself from being. You take yourself out of this allness. And you can see that this is a very dangerous point which has to be overcome sooner or later. So it's the birth of science and of logic and of the technical age. If you can remember, a year ago, I tried to show you the development of science since that classical period of the Greeks, and showed how this mental or scientific age brought wonderful discoveries, technical progress, but that it also leads us into a very deficient sense of science and of logic. And that today we are at the point where it seems that something quite different has to come into consciousness in order to overcome the deficient factors of this new-born consciousness of science and rationality. Another point. If we review this, and I just showed it in order to bring out the following point. If we review this development, we can ask ourselves, why was it that suddenly one structure of consciousness was succeeded by a completely new structure of consciousness? Second, that if that has happened already four or five times, the archaic structure, the magic structure, the mythological structure, then the mental scientific structure, why can't it happen again? That a completely new structure of consciousness can precipitate itself on humanity. We may call these changes mutations of consciousness. You remember that term mutation, which means that something completely new springs into being without any relationship with the preceding stage. That something, so to say, as descent from above, is just coming into consciousness and bringing out a new form which has not been preconceived by the former structure of consciousness. Therefore, the big question which we have to ask today, where we can see quite definitely from the point of view of the various sciences that that mental scientific structure which was born 500 BC, which had its renaissance around about 1500 AD, which had its big renaissance in 1500 AD, where everything which those ancient Greeks have already sensed have become understood and made practical and demonstrable in practical terms, that if we begin to realize that this structure alone is deficient, because we know it is deficient, then why should it be so impossible that at this stage a complete new mutation of consciousness shouldn't break on humanity? It isn't guessing. It is something which one can really read, if one can read the signs of the times. So, a new mutation make place, or has taken place, or is taking place within those few decades which we are living in. And therefore the great question for us is, what form of consciousness will it be? Can we sense the new structure of consciousness which is coming on us? Having shown, really, that various scientists have found out these mutations of consciousness, a very well-known professor of medicine who has investigated this theory too, has shown afterwards that this evolution takes place in every individual, only brought down in a very short time. Instead of taking 100,000 years, as it has taken for mankind, every child goes through those periods within the first 6 or 7 years. That the child arrives, and is, so to say, in the way of consciousness, in an archaic period, where the child just is in an infinite all, undifferentiated all. He cannot yet differentiate between anything. Then, after 2 years or so, the medical people say the child grows into some sort of magic period, where they even say that in that period a child can be healed very easily with the magic powers of the influence of the parents, of the surrounding, and so on. Then with the fourth and fifth year, the child grows out of that magic sense into a mythological age. And you know, it's that age where every child likes to hear fairy stories, where every child identifies itself mythically and says, I'm a dog and I play now a dog and I talk like a dog, where for him every horse and every bird and so on can speak and can do all sorts of things. See, it's that typical mythological age. And then with about 6 or 7 years, it grows into the mental rational age. And therefore, one sends it to school, where it begins to learn in an understanding way. This is the development of mortal consciousness. Why shouldn't there be a new mutation? Why not? But if we say why not, then the next thing is that we say to ourselves, then let's be open for it. Because only those who are ready for it and open for it and receptive for it are the ones who will perceive the form of the new structure of consciousness. And the new structure of consciousness one can see, if you think back of that talk I have given about a year ago on the sciences, show all in one direction, namely that the mental age is driving towards a new level, namely on the level of consciousness where mind, capitalized, is the form of consciousness. Where not the human mind, the thinking, logical, rational, thinking human mind makes up the structure of that consciousness, but where we begin to see that the divine mind is the true structure of consciousness. And so, with that, all the former stages are being integrated into this one new consciousness. And so people speak about the integral stage or integral structure of consciousness, where everything is integrated into one, but this time not as in the beginning, in the archaic age, where one had an undifferentiated all. Now through all those stages, being integrated into one, this one and all is a differentiated one and all. And one and all that is understood and can be understood and made practical through demonstration. So we are witnessing, I'm quite sure, the birth of that integral, do you know the term integral?
Yes.
Yeah. Integral stage of consciousness, of the one being, the I am that I am. See, where we begin to see that the I am that I am is self-existent and self-expressed. And so we come to a completely new form of consciousness. Now, if we have seen this, I want to raise another question. And so it has all to do with that chart, because that chart is the new integrated structure of consciousness. Another question. And don't jump at me, please. You know, last time we have considered what already John Dorley has shown in one of the verbatim reports about the symbolization in each 1,000-year period. How, as we rise in consciousness, the symbols change, and how these symbols become more rarefied, finer, until they finally disappear. And I don't want to repeat them, but just take up the thread at the 5,000-year period, the period of Jesus, where John Dolly showed us, and we can understand that quite clearly, that in the 5,000-year period, the symbol and the idea were one. Christ was Jesus, and Jesus was Christ.